Welcome to the Eddie Hott Podcast. I'm your host and teacher, Eddie Hott. So glad you've joined me again today as we continue our journey through the book of Acts. And we are in Acts chapter 4. We're picking up some nuggets, some golden nuggets concerning prayer and how the early church prayed. And of course, this is in Acts chapter 4, beginning at around verse 24. Where they prayed in response to the authorities threatening them and ordering them not to speak or to preach or to even speak the name of Jesus. And yesterday we were emphasizing how they began their prayer not focused on the problem. They began their prayer focused on God, on His character, on His greatness, on who He is, on His creative power. And that's how we should always begin our prayers. Now, they then went on, they begin to quote scripture. They begin to quote, and we should base our prayers on scripture, on the Bible, on the promises of God. It was said that George Mueller himself said, and he became known for orphanages that he established, and he never asked for money. Yes, he put out a report once a year, a financial report, but he made a point not to ask for money because he said he wanted to give a living demonstration of God's faithfulness. He wanted to care for orphans, but he also wanted to be a demonstration of God's faithfulness to answer prayer and to care for His people. And so when there was a need, George Mueller said that the first thing he did, he went to the Bible and he would search for promises that specifically covered the thing for which he was praying. Do you hear that? He said he would go to the Bible and find promises that specifically covered the thing for which he was praying. And if you haven't read the story of George Mueller, get a biography of him. Amazing testimonies of God's faithfulness coming through. But praying based on God's promises was so important to him. And we see the early church here, after acknowledging the greatness and the power of God, then they begin to quote from the scriptures. And then we get down to verse 29, and now they mention the problem to God. After focusing on God's greatness and power and quoting scripture, then they mention the problem. And verse 29, they said, "Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word." Now, here's what's interesting. They didn't ask God to remove the threat. They asked God to give them boldness. In other words, "Lord, don't let us be intimidated by these threats. Give us boldness to continue to speak and to preach in the name of Jesus in the face of these threats." You know, and God loved their prayer because the Bible tells us down at the end of the prayer, it says, "And the place where they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness." So God answered their prayer. Now God wants His people to have boldness. Their prayer was right in line with Scripture. I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, Proverbs 28:1 says the righteous are bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no one is pursuing. The righteous are bold as a lion. There's a passage, I believe it's in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where Paul said, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power." And I'm sure that includes boldness, of power, love, and a sound mind. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, of timidity. It is God's will that we have boldness. Let me tell you a little personal story about this that I think will encourage you. In the very early days of our marriage, Sue and I have been married 47 years last May. This was probably maybe the second year, maybe the third year. It was in the very early days, and we were planting a new congregation in New Brunswick, Canada, and we were experiencing some real challenges in life that we had never encountered before. And there was some situation, I don't even remember what it was. If I did, I would probably today feel like it was very trivial. But nevertheless, it was very looming. It was very intimidating. And it was even causing tension between Sue and I. So we took a drive down to the beach. Her hometown, St. John, New Brunswick, Canada, is on the Bay of Fundy, the Atlantic Ocean. And so we took a drive down there just to talk about the situation. And as we are sitting there, my Bible is up on the dash of the vehicle. But as we're sitting there, I hear the Holy Spirit speak to me these words: "I want you to roar at this situation." And it was so real on the inside of me, I said to Sue, I said, "God just told me to roar at this situation." Well, I'm thinking on what's this about? What does this mean? And the only thing I could relate it to was when I was in the U.S. Army, and particularly in basic training, Fort Polk, Louisiana, we were taught to roar. I remember going through bayonet training where we're running through this obstacle force with our rifles, and there's these dummies there supposed to represent human beings, and we're hitting them with the butt of our rifles and jabbing them with our bayonet, but all the time we're supposed to be roaring. Rah! Of course, it is a sign of assertion and aggression against the enemy. And when the enemy sees somebody coming at them roaring like that, they may just turn tail and run. You never have to fight. Yes, the righteous are bold as a lion, Jesus said. So anyway, this is what I'm thinking about. All these things are going through my mind after hearing the Holy Spirit on the inside of me say, "I want you to roar at this situation." Well, as I'm thinking on this, I reached up and I picked up my Bible and I laid it on my lap. And I wasn't looking for a scripture or anything, but I just picked up my Bible, laid it in my lap, and it randomly fell open. And when I looked down, lo and behold, it had fallen open to a passage, and my eyes lit upon these words: "And the Lord shall roar out of Zion." Wow! The Lord shall roar out of Zion. Well, I knew that Zion is an Old Testament picture. Yeah, Zion is the mountain there in Jerusalem, but Zion also symbolized God's triumphant people. It is used in that metaphorical way throughout the Old Testament as a symbol and as a picture of God's triumphant people. And this passage, I looked down and said, "And the Lord shall roar out of Zion." Well, if God was going to roar out of Zion, He was going to have to roar out of me. And so I knew that God was speaking. So sitting there in the natural, it seemed kind of silly. But sitting there, I pictured that situation in my mind, that intimidating situation, and I let out a roar. And you know what? That intimidation, that fear that was coming at me, it just dissipated. It was gone. Well, I begin to apply that in my prayer life. I might be praying, and if there was some situation that I was facing that was scary, intimidating, I would roar in the name of Jesus. And I remember a friend and he had come as a guest speaker, and they're in Canada. And before the service, we were in a little side room. We were praying, and people were starting to come into the congregation. But I remember we both started roaring, and all of a sudden I realized, oh my goodness, there's people out there. They don't wonder what's going on in here. But anyway, I shared with people about this, and my friend called it the roaring doctrine. But no, it's not a doctrine. It was just something that God gave me that I needed at that time to get on top of a situation that was intimidating me, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, I learned from this. You know, the Bible says that the devil goes about as a roaring lion. He's not a roaring lion. He goes about as a roaring lion, seeking to intimidate and put God's people in fear. But through that experience, I discovered that on the inside of me, and every believer is a real lion. He's called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. And 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. And sometimes that greater one in you, he does not want you to be intimidated by this world. He does not want you to respond in fear. And sometimes that lion of the tribe of Judah, that greater one in you, he wants to just rise up and roar out through you and put the demons and the devils to flight. May it be today in the name of Jesus. And I pray this prayer that the early church prayed, Lord, give your people boldness today. Everyone who is watching or listening to this podcast, Lord, I pray today that you will give them a spirit of boldness, that they will not be intimidated by anything, but they will have a spirit of boldness, and they will confidently go forward in faith, declaring your name, declaring your word, and seeing the backside of Satan as he flees and as he runs in terror. Thank you for your boldness today for your people. In Jesus' name, I'm Eddie Hyatt. This is the Eddie Hyatt Podcast. I hope you'll check out my website, eddiehyatt.com, and you'll find a lot of resources there. You'll find contact information if you'd like to be in touch with us. You'll find ways that if you'd like to give a tax-free, tax-deductible offering to our ministry, you'll find ways there to give. And I'll look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. God bless you.